month, so that means we're going to take a little time and talk about personal soul winning. I think there's a little bit of a ring in this, Dave, up here, so I'll get hooked up here. While you're finding Luke chapter 2, we got our report, came in, I think it was Monday, for our website in the month of November, and quite a pretty good month as far as folks listening in and tuning in to sermons on our website. We had 1,010 sermons downloaded in the month of November off the website. I thought that was pretty good. That's up significantly. They were downloaded in the 46 states, so there's only four states that did not tune into our website, and 28 different countries, and that's up also. And the number one sermon downloaded 101 times was Dr. Williams' sermon, Stepping in the Water, that one from Ezekiel, 101 times. I think Nan did all of them. The second most was 86 was Don Williams. The third most was Don Williams. And then the fifth most was Don Williams. The seventh most was Don Williams. The eighth most was Don Williams. So he's buying off people to tune in here, I think. But what's that? Yes, she needs to do that. Up my numbers a little bit there. That affects my pay. Maryland had 82, was the number one state. Maryland, get this, California, 77 into California. And the number one country, anybody want to take a guess? Australia again. We got quite a following down in Australia. I got a call a number of years ago. It's just interesting. It's probably 4 years ago or so, from a retired missionary. I never heard of him, but he's a retired missionary in Australia. And he called me from Australia, and he said, Pastor Lem, I just want you to know, we love your sermons on your website. I listen to every single sermon you put on there. No idea who he is. Never heard of him, but he's in Australia, and he listens to it all the time. Canada, United Kingdom. And then there was some unusual countries on here. China had two in China. I thought there was one here. Myanmar, three into Myanmar, and Trinidad, and all over the place. Switzerland, isn't that something? I tell you, I like getting that and seeing what's going on. We have no idea what God is doing out there, you know it? How God might be using that. Luke chapter 2, I want to read 9 through verse 18. The very familiar passage, Christmas passage, verse 9 says, Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, keeping their abiding in the field that were keeping watch over their flock by night. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. How many people would be afraid? All right, so here you have some guys, they're afraid. I thought when I read that, I thought, how many times that we need to witness to somebody and we're afraid to. So fear is a very real factor in the Christian life in numerous ways. So look what happens here. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Now look at this next statement, which shall be to all people. These good tidings, which by the way is another, it means the same thing as gospel. The good news, good tidings, which shall be to how many people? All people. I put in the margin of my Bible there, missions. Christmas is about missions, reaching people with the gospel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, look how they responded. When they had seen it, when they saw Christ, they saw the Savior, what'd they do? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. Now here's the interesting things. The shepherds show up. They hear this thing, this good tidings, great joy. It's to be for all people. They go down, they see Jesus. And when were the shepherds saved? When was their moment of salvation? I wonder if it wasn't when they saw Christ and realized that this is who God said he was. I tend to think their salvation was when they came down and saw Christ. And then they went out, and their immediate response was to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, who they had just seen, who they'd just been introduced to. How many folks here, after you got saved, something down inside your heart and soul, you felt like you needed to tell others about it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's the Spirit of God in us. So what I want to talk about is tips for witnessing at Christmas time. Now, we've done this a couple years ago. We gave some of these. I'll pick up some of those and have some others that I want to add to it. But just helpful tips at Christmas time. Christmas time is an excellent time to share the gospel with people. So let's pray, and we'll look at some of these. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us to follow the example of these shepherds when they saw Christ and they saw the promise of God and they believed. They immediately went out and made it known. And I pray you'd help me and all of us individually and as a church to make known to all people this message that a Savior has come. People can be forgiven and saved and have eternal life. And so please help me to be a good teacher. Fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. I pray that actually you would teach through me and stir us and prompt us to be a witness this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sometimes witnessing to family can be a little intimidating. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We talk about this a lot. Kathy and I are very different. Kathy can get somebody, a co-worker right next to her, someone she's very close to, a family member. She can talk to them about the Lord's spiritual things very easily. She would rather do that than knock on a door cold turkey and talk to someone about Christ. I'm the other way around. Somebody real close family, boy, to talk to them about the Lord, I get intimidated a little bit. Boy, I can go and knock on a cold turkey door, somebody I don't know. Brother, I can talk to them. And so people are different. But Christmas is a unique time when we get together with family and friends. How many folks here have a family get-together at Christmas time? How many folks here have some unsaved folks going to be there, family members, unsaved family members? We're burdened for them. And we want them to be saved, and this is a great opportunity. How many folks your work has a Christmas dinner or something at work that get everybody together? Anybody like that? Some of them do. And there you're there with workers. Here's another opportunity. We can witness at Christmas. There's three ways we can witness at Christmas. One way is this. We can be like a turtle. A turtle does what? A turtle pulls its head in, closes the shell up, and just kind of disappears. And sometimes, and I wish I'd say this wasn't true, but I know there's been sometimes I've been in situations where there was folks around, and rather than being the witness I should be, I was a turtle witness. I just kind of withdrew, didn't say much, kind of was there, and didn't open my mouth. And I know none of you all have ever been that way, but I have been guilty of that myself. However, the other type of witness we can be at Christmas time, at a Christmas banquet or a dinner or get-together, is like a chameleon. What does a chameleon do? Just kind of blend right in. Just be like everybody else and really not be a whole lot of a witness there. I'm just kind of going along. Whatever they're talking about, I'm talking about. Whatever they're interested, I'm interested in. And not really be a good witness. Or we can be like the Christmas star. And we can get there and we can shine and we can point people to Christ. So I can be a turtle, just clam up and don't be much of a witness. I can be a chameleon, just blend in. Or I can be a light for Christ and be a significant witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, point people to Christ. So Christmas is a unique time. There's a lot of things about Christmas, and we're all aware of this, but Christmas time there's hymns playing everywhere. And it amazes me still to this day where you go in stores and different places and you'll hear the name of Jesus Christ still being played over the intercom. You'll see mangers different places. Now, it's not as much as it used to be. Anybody notice that? It's kind of diminishing more and more. But nevertheless, it's still there. And the world is out there, and sometimes at Christmas time, they'll have the Lord Jesus Christ on their mind. All right, here you go. Let me give you a few tips here on how to be a good witness at Christmas time. Let's suppose that you are going to a Christmas dinner. The family's going to be there, Uncle Bob and Aunt Mary's going to be there. Who? Anybody? And so all the family's going to be there, and God lays one of your family members on your heart. They're unsaved, and they're going to be there. Maybe there's a couple, and man, they're there. Maybe you've already been thinking about them, and you think, I really need to be a witness for them. I really need to. Here's the first thing I think we need to do. Number one, resolve to pray for them. I think before we ever show up, before we ever encounter them, before we ever engage them in a conversation, we need to saturate that encounter with prayer. And I'm saying this more and more all the time, but the more I'm studying my Bible, I see prayer and witnessing go hand in hand in hand. You go through the book of Acts. They prayed, they preached. They prayed, they preached. I don't think it's a good idea to show up at a Christmas dinner or a Christmas party or Aunt whoever's home with Christmas stuff and just go barging in there and think, I'm going to be this great witness and come barging in there. The danger of witnessing without first saturating it as prayer is that I have a tendency to trust in what? Myself. I think I can do this. And especially if we're a little intimidated by the situation, if you're like me, it's like, all right, I can do this, grit my teeth. Anybody here like that? You got a situation, you know it's tough. All right, I can do this, I can handle this. The fact of the matter is, you and I can't save nobody or anybody. And so we got to have the presence of God. We have to have the power of God. We need God working on their heart. In Acts chapter 16, it says Paul and Silas showed up, and Lydia was there, and it says that the Lord had opened her heart before they ever got there. God had been working on her heart and life. And so we must saturate this encounter with prayer. Before we go into any soul-winning situation, we must spend time in prayer, especially if it's family or close friends. We really need the Lord to open their heart and bless that effort. I put this down. All soul-winning and witnessing begins and ends with prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Jesus said, I preached on this a week ago Sunday. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. So there must be a saturation of prayer. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were intimidated to witness. They were intimidated. They were a little fearful about opening their mouth and speaking the gospel and telling others of Christ. Anybody want to guess why were they so intimidated and so fearful to speak out the gospel? They'd get thrown in jail if they did. It wasn't people make fun of them or be mad at them or get offended. It was their life was being put on the line. And so what did they do? How did they overcome that timidness? How did they overcome that fear? Acts chapter 4 tells us that they prayed. And they prayed to the Lord and they said, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak the word as we ought. And God answered their prayer. And he said the place was shaken where they were assembled together when they had prayed. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And so before we go into a Christmas setting, a banquet or a room, we're going to engage particularly family member, we need to pray. And we need to saturate that thing in prayer. Spend much time in earnest prayer before we go to that. If it's a family member, this would be my suggestion, is husband and wife, take a set a period of time, maybe a week before at least. And every Sunday night, say, hey, we're going to pray for Uncle So-and-so. We're going to pray for this child that we have, or this cousin, or somebody that we really needs to be saved, that we're burdened for. And we know the Lord wants a witness. Take a week and just pray together every night on your knees, holding hands. God, help us be a witness. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, open their heart to the gospel. I think if we prayed earnestly and diligently, I think we'd see more people saved. I agree with John R. Rice. When there's a emptiness of souls being saved, it may be because there's a lack of prayer being made on that behalf. And so pray before you go in that. Pray together. Witnessing to family members can be very intimidating, and we need the Lord to help us. Number two, I want to suggest this. Recruit others to pray with you. I mentioned husband and wife, but one of the functions of the local church, one of the purposes of the local church is for us to have reinforcements, for us to have support from one another. The Bible says we're to assemble together and exhort one another. Part of that exhortation is sharing burdens with each other. And so one member has a, I'm going to go to a Christmas banquet the week before Christmas. The whole family's going to be there. I got a cousin. They're, you know, they're lost. I've been burdened. I know I need to witness to them. And I find a faithful church member and somebody I can trust, somebody that I can confide in, and be confident there, and just get together and say, hey, listen, I got somebody coming up this Christmas I really need a witness to. Would you join with me in prayer and pray with me and pray together that God will open their heart and I'll be able to share the gospel with them. I'd be able to see them saved. I think we'd see the power of God if we would learn to do that and pray together, have partners and pray together. Jesus said, if two or three agree on anything, touching anything, that he will hear us and answer us. And so that's part of the function of the body of Christ. That's part of the responsibilities that we have as members of the church is to join up one with another and pray for these things and seek the Lord in that matter. And so this matter of prayer, recruit someone else. Be selective. Get a prayer warrior that can keep a confidence and that you can pray together. Number three, I put this down. What was number one? Resolve to pray for it. Number two, recruit a prayer partner was the point. I don't know if I said that way. Number three, reflect the love of God. If you go into that Christmas party, an old grouch, you and your spouse prayed for 2 weeks, and then you have a big fight right before you go, and you're all mad at each other, and you walk in there and you're grousing and barking and biting people's heads off, how many people are going to listen to you talk about the love of God? Nobody. And so we've got to be, we've got to reflect the love of God. I think we have to go the extra mile to be helpful and kind. There's a verse that God used in my heart. Years ago, I was going up, this was 15, 20 years ago. I was going up to spend a little bit of time with my family. I was going to stay with my dad. I don't remember what the situation was, birthday or something we were going up for. But anyway, I was going to be up there a couple days. And the Lord impressed a verse on my heart from Matthew. It says, Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to what? But to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And God stirred my heart. And I thought, you know, I've got some nephews. I've got some extended family that never professed faith in Christ there. And that need the Lord. And I thought, you know, God, help me to go up there, not expecting anything from them, but go up there just giving of myself. Minister and give my life and just go up there and serve and serve and serve. Now, my dad's moving down. Next Friday, he's moving down here. And that verse came to mind again. I thought, God, help me when dad gets down here just to be a minister unto him and just serve him and give what I can and do what I can for him. And I think that mentality, that verse, the principle behind that verse is what we need to take into any witnessing encounter. I'm just going to go in there and I'm just going to love folk and I'm going to care about them and genuinely love them. I put this note down here. My spiritual health is an important factor in my soul winning effectiveness. If I'm not right with God, if I've got bitterness in my heart or unforgiveness towards a family member, I'll never forgive them what they did to me. I tell you what, I'm never going to win them to the Lord. And I'll tell you where that's going to come back and tear us up is at the great white throne judgment. We see them cast out in the lake of fire and we think, man, I had this stinky attitude towards them the whole time. And maybe my witness was hindered because of that. You follow what I'm trying to say? And what a terrible thing that would be. And so we've got to forgive folk. And so we have to be very, very careful about that. Put away the anger. Forgive the past wrongs, whatever they may have done. And, you know, I got a situation in my family where I had to learn early on, God convicted me, where I just was so bitter at a family member for what they did. And I was reading in Luke where that fella, and I don't have the reference, but where that fella had swindled just tons and tons of money from his boss, you remember, and there's no way he could pay it back. And the boss was going to throw him in prison. This is the Dennis Leatherman version of it. And he says, oh, forgive me, please have mercy on me. And the guy forgave him for all of it. Remember reading that in Luke? And then what did he ran? He went another. Another guy owed him like $100, just nothing compared to what he was forgiven for him. Boy, he took him by the neck, was going to choke him. You pay me everything, I'll throw you in jail. And what ended up happening there? The boss found out about that, and he says, you're going to jail till you pay every penny. And boy, the Lord convicted me about that, about a family member. I thought, God forgave me for so much of my sin against him. And here I am bitter at someone else because of what they did to hurt me. And I had to get on my knees before God and say, God, that was wrong. That is wicked sin in my heart. And I could never be a witness to that one. And God helped me get over that. And that person had trusted Christ some time later. And today they're living for God and have a good witness, good testimony. And so I've got to reflect the love of God. I've got to reflect the love of God when I go into this. Number four, retain a faithful testimony. And so I got to love people. I got to love them genuinely. You say, I just can't. Oh, by the way, sometimes forgiveness, I think there are certain situations where forgiveness is humanly impossible, where I need God to enable me to forgive someone. That maybe that hurt is so deep and has been so long, and it's just say, God, I can't do this, I'm unable. And there's a great passage in Romans that the Holy Spirit, the love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. And God can give us that love that we need to have. Number four, put this one down, retain a faithful testimony. I just said it. People are watching us, and that's where... here's something for, I know for me, I mean, I lived a period of time there where I wasn't saved, and I'm telling you, it was bad. And then God saved me and completely changed my life. And you know, to this day, that we're talking almost 40 years later, to this day, I'll go home and be around family, and inevitably somebody from back then will say, they call me Denny, they'll say, Denny, remember when you were 16? And they'll bring something up from a long time ago. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Boy, they'll bring that up, and I'll say, yeah, you know, it was bad. It was a mess. And so they're watching, and they want to see if we're real and whether we're legit or not. And so there's a temptation to be a chameleon. There's a temptation to say, well, you know, these folks know me, and maybe I don't have a good testimony. I'm just going to kind of blend in. And the closer our relationship with people, the more important our testimony is. You know, you might not be the greatest Christian, but somebody in town that just sees you a little bit, they know you go to church, maybe you game a track, boy, they think you're an amazing Christian. But you get that person that lives in the house with you or lives close by or you interact with a lot, they see what we are really. You follow what I'm saying? And so that testimony with folks close to us, coworkers, family, is even more important that we keep that thing right. Number five, let me give you this. I'm trying to get to a couple here that I want to highlight a little bit. Number five, write this down. Rely on Christmas services and programs. Boy, what a great opportunity to get unsaved folks in to hear the gospel. We have Christmas services on Sunday before Christmas. A lot of different things going on. Boy, invite them out. We got flyers back there for our Christmas services. And bring them out. And not just Christmas. Use big days. We got something big day going on. Invite unsaved people out. I give you my word. I've been saying this for over 25 years now. I give you my word. I will give the gospel out on days like this the best I can and invite people to trust Christ. That is my commitment as pastor. We do this stuff, wild game dinners, Christmas programs, all of that, whether it's a play or whatever it is, somehow, some way, at some point, we're going to give the gospel, we're going to invite people to trust Christ. So what a great opportunity to invite people out. You say, I'm a little timid. I don't know if I could talk to that one. But you can invite them to come out to Christmas service for you. And it's amazing how many people will come out Christmas and Easter. I'll knock on doors. So I'll ask them, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yeah, we go out there to a white church or whatever. Really, you go pretty regularly? Yeah, every Christmas. And we go regularly every Christmas. And so you can get them out. And on these big days, take advantage of that and invite people out. Number six, recognize opportunities to share the gospel. Recognize opportunities to share the gospel. Listen to conversations for the right time. And again, ask the Lord to help you. And help me. It takes a little discernment. Where's that right? Watch that opportunity. Somebody says something or something goes on. Do you ever have a situation where there's somebody there and boy, the Lord just lays on your heart, I need to talk to that person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This happened to me in Indianapolis one time. The first time I really recognized it, I was driving down Shelby Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a summer day. I'm driving up and this guy's walking down the sidewalk and God impressed on my heart to pull over and talk to that guy about the Lord. And of course, I know you've never done it, but I got in a little argument with God. I said, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to just pull over out of the blue and talk to this guy. And man, God wouldn't let me alone. I thought, I'm driving, I've got business to do, I'm doing stuff, and pull over. And I must have drove 4 or 5 blocks. Finally, I said, all right. And I pulled in a parking lot and turned around. I thought, he won't be there. He'll be gone by the time I got back. And lo and behold, there he was. And so, all right, well, I can't stop on this side of the road, so I got to drive down here and turn around. He won't be there. And I turned around. There he was. So I pulled over and jumped out. And I said, hey, man, I saw you walking down here. Just wanted to give you a little gospel track. Oh, thank you. He'd just gotten out of a drug rehab place. And was getting set up in some sort of housing for guys that get out of that stuff. And I stood there for about an hour, shared the gospel with that guy. Now, he didn't get saved. I think I've told this before. He didn't get saved right then. But when I was done, I thought that was God was leading and directing me to talk to that guy at that point. So sometimes that happens on the scale, even in a Christmas get-together and things. Somebody's sitting there by themselves. Pay attention. Maybe you can sit down beside him and say, how's it going? Good, good. You have a good year? Oh, that was a little rough. Have you been out to church at all? Been going to church anywhere? Yeah, we went back for our kids' christening back in August. Is that right? You know, going to church is important, but you know, I found more important than that, and you can go right into the gospel with them. And so look for those opportunities. Look for those chances there and pay attention. Be alert. Recognize them. Anticipate opportunities. I tell you, that's a neat approach. Just going in here, all right, I know there's going to be an opportunity here. I'm anticipating an opportunity to talk to somebody of Christ. You know what I found out? When I'm anticipating something, I notice it quicker than when I'm not anticipating something. You deer hunters know what I'm talking about. You're sitting in a tree stand, and I'm bad. I take books with me, and so I'm sitting there reading a book, and there's 5 8-point bucks walking by. I don't even know it, you know. And I'm reading a book, so, ain't nothing out here. And, you know, because I'm not anticipating anything. But I tell you, you put the book away, and it's getting towards dark, getting towards the evening, and you know they're going to be moving. Man, every little squirrel that shuffles a leaf, oh, it's a big buck, you know. And you're just watching and waiting. And that's kind of the idea of a soul winning. I like it when I go out knocking on doors. Man, I'm anticipating being able to share the gospel with somebody. And so go into that setting, go into that thing, watching for opportunities, anticipating opportunities. The great thing about Christmas is you can produce opportunities. You can make opportunities. Now, this is where folks get creative. How many people send out Christmas cards? How many folks put Christmas tracks in the Christmas cards? It's ingenious. Hey, did you get our card? Yeah, I got the card. It was very nice. Thanks. Did you see the little pamphlet inside there, a little paper in there? Yeah, what was that about? Christmas gift. Oh, it's a gospel tract. And did you get to read it? No, we just saw it. Well, here, let me tell you what's in there. You know what I'm saying? And so we're creating opportunities. We're stoking that fire a little bit. Put tracks in cards. Put tracks in gifts. I mentioned this just about every year. I mentioned this was ingenious, but the Joneses, Terry and Johnny Jones several years ago. How many people remember me telling this? Up there at the community center where they live. What is that area? Mount Grove. And they rented out that community center, invited all their neighbors. We want you to come on out. And they provided a whole meal, everything. It was tremendous. There was 35, 40 people there. And they said, Pastor, we want you to come up and tell these folks how to get saved. We're going to get them all out. We'll get them here. You tell them how to get saved. That was ingenious. And they had the meal, and everybody's there laughing and talking, carrying on. Johnny got up, says, listen, we're glad you all come out. Hope you have a good Christmas. I invited my preacher here. He's going to tell you all how to get saved. Okay. It was ingenious. Anybody could do that. Giving the gospel out, give out gospel books and gifts. I think Cindy and Tom do this. Write out stuff that happened throughout the year. A little like a prayer letter almost, but just stuff happened, and work the gospel into something like that. Just write it out. Your testimony. I thought of this one: strategic seating. If you're having the dinner and Uncle Bob is unsaved and Cousin Joe is a good, solid Christian, guess who you want to sit beside each other? Bob, why don't you sit over here beside Joe? Or if it's setting it up and say, hey, you know what, there's Uncle Joe, he's unsaved, I'm going to sit beside him. Joe, you mind if I sit here? Well, my wife is going to sit here. Oh, she can sit somewhere else, I'll sit beside you. But try and work that stuff out. Be strategic. Listen to conversations for right opportunity. Anticipate opportunities. Make opportunities. You can think of 1,000 other things. Nowadays, they're coming out with some pretty good DVDs with the gospel on them. You know, and some of these Christian things are coming out. It's kind of a new thing. And, maybe have that thing playing on there or whatever. I don't know. But you can be creative there. Number 7, I added this one. Keep things simple. You get to talk to a family member. If the door opens up and you're talking about Christ, don't get all complicated with them. Just keep it a simple plan of salvation. Don't get all theological. You don't have to talk about dispensations. We don't have to talk. I wouldn't even, if they're an unbeliever, they're an atheist or whatever, I wouldn't even talk about evolution. I mean, if they bring it up, don't be afraid of it. But boy, I'd just stay focused on the gospel. And I got inspired from Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Did you notice when he talked to Nicodemus, it wasn't real complicated. Nicodemus says, you're a prophet come from God. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Huh? You need to be born again. What's that mean? Born from above. How can a man be born again? Well, spirit blows where it does, and we don't understand. The wind blows where it does. Spirit moves where it does. We don't understand these heavenly things, but I'll tell you this. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. See, did you never notice that with Nicodemus? He didn't get involved in all explaining all the details. He just said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he just kept it very, very simple with Nicodemus. And we find out later, Nicodemus got saved. So keep it simple. Don't get overcomplicated. Don't get theological. Don't get sidetracked. Well, what do you think about Trump? Well, I pray for him every day. And you know for sure when you die, you're going to heaven. Just stay focused on that thing. And go on there. I came across this statement. And I didn't know what he meant at first. But I like it. Being a witness at Christmas may simply be this. And this is the statement I read. The guy said, just put a stone in their shoe. Just put a stone in their shoe. Anybody want to take a shot? What does he mean by that? Put a stone in their shoe. Make them a little uncomfortable. But anybody here have a stone in your shoe and that's all you can think about? The whole time that thing's in there, man, that's all I can think about. Just a little something in there to get in their head and give them something to think about and just work on that and work on that. Every time they take a step, man, he said that. You need to be born again. What in the world does he mean by that? You know what I'm saying? I think he just meant give them some truth, keep it very, very simple, give that to them, something to eat away and get on them. I teach this in our soul winning training, and you knock on a door and you offer a gospel tract or whatever, and you try to witness to them. They said, oh, not right now. It's not a good time now. I'm not really interested. Then what we do is we give them the tract. We say, well, here's this little gospel tract. And what we do is we could do this. That thing tells us that we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law and sinned against Him because of our sin. We deserve to die and go to hell. God loved us so much that Jesus died, suffered hell for us, was buried, rose again, that if we'll by faith call on Him, trust Him as our Savior, He'll forgive us and save us. God bless you. Thanks for letting us come by. We'll see you again. I got the gospel in. You see what I'm saying? He said, I don't have time. So I just, as I'm giving the track, I just put that little stone in his shoe. And then we walk off, and that thing there, who knows how God might use it. I call it gospel grenades. You just leave that little gospel in there and go down the road. You get about five houses down. Kaboom! You know, they get convicted. Who knows what's going on in there? And so, you know, maybe at a Christmas thing, you won't be able to sit down for an hour and go through the in-depth thing. Just give it. Keep it simple. Put a stone in their shoe. Something to think about. Something that God can use to work on. Number eight, I put this down. Request God to send faithful Christians across their paths. Maybe that's all I can do is put a stone in their shoe. But pray that maybe somebody else would have an inroad to them that I could never get. Somebody else could get their ear in a way that I can't get their ear. And I have family members that are out, and I pray, God, send a good godly Christian by them to be a witness, be a faithful witness, give them a track. So pray that God would send other Christians by their way. Number nine, and put this down, and it doesn't fit my R's, but I just injected it in here. Let them walk away if they want to. In other words, when you're witnessing to them, go as far as you can, But if you see they're starting to shut you down, don't press that thing. Don't drag it out. Just, all right, we're done, and let it go on. They start looking around, they start doing other stuff. Maybe it's time to back off and just let them go. And I get that from Matthew. I wrote the reference down here. Matthew 19:22. He had this rich ruler. And Lord told him, you know, you got to sell all you have or you can't be saved. And the guy walked away very sad. And you know what the Lord did? He let him. He let him walk away. But he planted the seed. He was a witness. He gave him the truth. And he didn't hold him there and back him into a corner and berate him and just go on and on and on long after they've shut you off. You got to use some discernment there and give him what we can. Put that stone in that shoe. Give him the gospel as far as we can. But when it's time and they're done, let him go. Because who knows, there may be another opportunity. You don't know how that would work. So let them walk away. If they're finished, let them go. Most family witnessing is long-term. Most of the time, it's over years of being a witness, years of being a witness, sharing the truth. Most of the time for family, it's a long-term witness. And then number 10, I end with this one. Oh, well, let me make a few other statements here under that. Stay calm. Stay calm. When you're witnessing to somebody, particularly family, this is true across the board, but you know, if they say something, maybe they say something blasphemous. Maybe they'll say something that just really provokes you. Do not get angry. You read Galatians chapter 5. Anger is a work of the flesh. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so here is a lost person talking like a lost person, saying things lost people say. And I've got to stay calm and not react and get all mad and get it up. If I find myself in a witnessing situation with a family member raising my voice, then I've lost them. I've crossed the line. I've lost them. I have got to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with His Spirit, to display the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh, in sharing the gospel. I tell you, sometimes family, you talk, what do they say in family? Don't talk about religion or politics, right? Because that's where the big explosion is. Listen, you and I, as Spirit-filled Christians, ought to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ with unsaved people without losing our cool. Calmness reflects confidence. And when I lack confidence, then I'm going to start getting angry. I'm going to start... Listen, if there's silverware, if there's china being thrown back and forth in the kitchen, your witness to that person is over. Right? So stay calm. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't raise your voice. Confidence is very calm. Faith in God is very calm. Let me give you this advice. Listen to them. If they got something, just listen to them. Let them tell you their experience or whatever. Sometimes that opens up great opportunities to share truth. And sometimes they'll say the most bizarre stuff, some of the weirdest ideas out there in the world. You know how you respond? You witness someone and they say the weirdest thing in the world to you? Don't try and rebuke him or refute all that. Just say, well, that's interesting. And then go right on with your conversation. And just listen to them. Be patient with them. Turn with me if you would, and I'll end with this. Mark chapter 10. And a lot of this stuff we've repeated it over and over the years. But Mark chapter 10 and verse number 27. This is encouraging. Lord Jesus was talking about riches and rich people and rich people getting saved, and it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get saved. And look at the question that is asked at the end of verse 26. They were astonished without measure, saying among themselves, what's the question they ask at the end of verse 26? Who then can be saved? Can I change that a little bit to fit our context? How in the world can Uncle Bob ever get saved? I don't think Aunt Ethel is ever going to get saved. My cousin, there is no way he will ever get saved. Don't think like that. What does verse 27, how did Jesus respond to that question? Look what he says. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men, this is what? Impossible, but not with God. Now, this is the context of people, difficult people getting saved. Look at the statement. But with God, not with God, for with God, read the last four words with me. All things are possible. Don't ever give up on Uncle Bob. Don't ever give up on Cousin Randy. Cousin Ronald. Whoever. Ronnie. Whoever. You follow what I'm saying? Don't give up. I know how it is. You walk out of there. They're never going to get saved. Don't think that way. I tell you, a better response is broken heart weeping. Lord, please save them. Please save them. And sometimes all it is is a word spoken. All it is a little gospel message here, a little word here. Boy, you know, Lord meant so. Since I got saved, God has been so good to me, and it's just changed my life. Sometimes that's all it takes for God to open a heart and turn that whole way of thinking about Christianity. I've got a family member right now. Kathy and I have been praying and talking, and I tell you, they're showing some softness where there's been hardness for decades. And just in the last 6 months, in conversations we had with a family member of mine, boy, it's really softened up, and they've made some statements about prayer and about the Lord that I never dreamed I would hear them say. And so you never know what God is doing. You never know what God is doing. I tell you, the night I got saved Monday night, I'll tell you about that sometime, but on Friday night, my dad got home from out on the road trucking, and he got home, and he was down in his little study area, and I come down there, and he said, what in the world are you doing home on a Friday night? I was never home on Friday night. I was never home on the weekend. And I said, Dad, I got to tell you something. He goes, what? And I said, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I remember making that statement to him. I'll tell you what, I wish so bad I wish I had, what are those little Instamatic little pictures spit out? Polaroid. I wish I had a Polaroid of his face right then. I mean, it was shock, it was joy, it was unbelief, it was everything. He had no idea what God was doing in my heart. He had no idea what God was doing in my heart that whole time. He was just being a faithful witness, faithful witness, faithful witness. And God was working, working, working until finally that thing came through. So don't give up hope. Keep praying, keep witnessing, keep that testimony up, keep forgiving. And God can do great things at Christmas. Amen? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Find a prayer partner, maybe, to pray with you about a specific family member, a coworker, and ask the Lord to help us. Father in heaven, We ask now that you would help us to be faithful witnesses year-round. Lord, we don't want to be our soul winning to be seasonal. But Lord, this is an opportunity, and we're going to see folks that we don't see a whole lot and some that we care deeply about. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us and stir us, and that you would use us to be instruments in your hand to bring others to Christ. And so please help us in this matter. I wonder, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, how many folks have say, "Preacher, there's somebody on my heart over this Christmas season." As you mentioned that, their name, their face came to mind. Is there any like that? There's somebody in particular has come to mind. That's just about every one of us. Now, how about we begin saturating that one with prayer? Maybe husband and wife. Maybe find someone in the church and say, "Hey, would you pray with me that so-and-so would get saved?" Co-worker, family, whatever. But let's really saturate that whole need in prayer. And then let's ask the Lord to give us a love in our heart and a boldness to see those opportunities and to do that. So an altar is a good place to ask the Lord to help us and fill us and use us. Father, bless now, as we do want to be used of you. We do want you to save our loved ones. In Jesus' name, let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.